Attention, are you moving soon and don't know who to turn to? If you are moving or planning to move long distance or across the country, Moving APT is offering up to a 20% discount for radio callers this month. Let us handle and remove all the pain and stress in a long distance move. Let Moving APT help you with your all-inclusive move, including packaging services, help with washers and dryers, mounted TVs, bed frames, and more. We can include packing and unpacking services or ask for boxes, tape, bubble wrap, or labels. We also disassemble and reassemble appliances and TVs at your new home. Moving is difficult and stressful, so call Moving APT today to find the most professional movers to support you. If you are looking for a low-cost quote to move long distance or across the country, call us now. Call 800-716-0362. 800-716-0362. Get a guaranteed quote with up to 20% off. 800-716-0362.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. Part two of our Biz Talk exclusive, the London Whale breaking his silence, telling us the true story in his mind as to what happened with that $6 billion loss that shook the whole world at the time and shook J.P. Morgan for years to come. Welcome back, Bruno, from France. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, we did a fascinating, enlightening show. Now we're going to dig a little bit under the hood. Explain to people what Jamie Dimon was thinking and trying to drive. What was his number one priority that was causing what happened at the CIO to happen?
You know, first, again, I talked to Jamie Dimon like 1 minute in my life, and that's it. So what I can tell you is what I've been told face-to-face by Aina Drew, Achilles Macris, Javier Martin Artajo, when they said, Jamie thinks that, or Jamie wants that, or, you know, they were always saying that they acted on behalf of what Jamie had told them. So what I think is, from my recruitment interview back in early 06, Aina Drew and Achilles Macris were dedicated to a project of Jamie. And this project of Jamie was itself addressing specific queries of regulators. I was never told which regulators it was. That was regulators. And really, the idea was that JP Morgan was too big on credit derivatives, and JP Morgan had to have a plan B, just in case things might go wrong. And Jamie had committed to that, as I was told. And the idea was to use a special CIO. That was the CIO that Mr. Dimon had designed, where he had put Aina Drew in there, and he had personally asked Mr. Macris to join and report to Mrs. Drew and not Mr. Dimon himself. That's what Mr. Macris told me and what Mrs. Drew told me, right?
Okay.
But Mr. Dimon never explained anything to me in person. And so they said, okay, Jamie committed to the board. The board committed to the regulators, and the regulators want to hear about that. So that's how the book started within the CIO. That started as it had to be to fulfill this will of Mr. Dimon. And then I was explained, I was just a pawn. I was no trader. They didn't care about having a trader making money. What they wanted is very truthful, complete hear for them from the markets. And that's what I was supposed to be. And if I had ideas, they were welcome, but they might not care about it at all. And I didn't have to wonder. So it was a very special situation. And I must say, over the 6 years I was there, that's the thing I lived. That's the thing I saw. And I think the idea was really to say, the traders in the bank, they are the investment bank, the IB. And these guys, they have budget to achieve. They are here for the money. They don't care about the corporate. They don't care about the bank. And the bank is too big. It cannot exit from the market alone. So the bank has to have something, has to do something about it. And that's why that was the reason of being for this book in this CIO.
Bruno, the Jamie, you said, was trying to reduce the risky assets, which would allow the capital requirements, specifically the new Basel III capital requirements, to get them under there more securely and to use money to buy shares back. How does all that come together with being the strategic hedge that was CIO was told, that the world was told was the CIO's job?
Yeah, I'm going here to summarize the explanation that I received first from Mr. Martin Artaro at the end of 2010, and next face-to-face from Mrs. Drew. So the idea was that this hedge was extremely profitable for the bank. It was reducing the risks overall in the bank, which allowed the whole bank and the IB in particular to be able to trade even bigger volumes and therefore make more profit. And I knew from a risk guy, Mr. Stefan, that actually the reduction of risks was up to the tune of 25%. So that was pretty big when you think of it, right? And it was very profitable. But the Basel 2.5 and furthermore the Basel III standard were going to impose on this basis risk that was carried every day between CIO and mostly the IB on credit derivatives. It was going to cost a lot of capital. And for Mr. Diamond, this cost, no matter how profitable the book was for the whole firm, the diversification effect, it was not worth it. Because, in fact, there was not enough opportunities in the market, in the economy, to anyway deploy this capital. So what he wanted is to get his hands free, to give the money back to the shareholders. Because anyway, the bank had too much capital for the opportunities in the market. To do that in the most proper and, you know, sizable way, he wanted priority number one of Jamie, to get rid of this book that was going to mobilize unduly even more capital in the future. My understanding was Mr. Diamond wanted to give the capital back to the shareholders anyway, and he wanted to not be burdened by excess capital consumption due to regulatory changes. So the plan was, priority number one, get rid of this hedge and then pay the shares. I mean, I believe this speech. I thought that we had to work hard starting in late 2010, early 2011, on how to reduce the RWA of this book in particular due to that context that was explained to me.
Very well explained. Now we'll ask why the heck this happened. So in terms of did Jamie or the senior executives panic? Because if you'd run that book off over time, could you have done it without blowing up the market, and in which case it would have been very small losses, and instead J.P. Morgan panicked and had to unload it and get killed in the market?
No, it's not right at all. I mean, that's what the bank tried to convey. I don't think the regulators did make it up, but the bank did. The truth was that this book was already in what Mr. Macris coined as land the plane. They were landing the plane already since June 2010. And the idea was to let the book simply expire. And back then, they knew that by the end of 2014, 90% of the book would have expired. The book had vanished mostly, right? They knew that. And it's very important because in January 2011, or February 2011, I received suddenly the instruction. So we'd been 6 months already in landing the plane while I barely traded. I just was looking at the market for opportunities, but I found very little. The market makers outside of JP Morgan told me that they were very sorry, but they had no room to take any more position of the CIO. There was no liquidity. The market was dead. I report that up to Mr. Artaro, and the feedback was, well, Bruno, you have to trade a lot because Jamie wants this RWA on this book, like reduced, like tomorrow, fast, trade. And I said, well, I can't. So 1 month later, Ina Drew, so March 2011, 1 year before, they knew that this book would expire 90% at least by the end of 2014. But Mrs. Drew came telling me again that it was priority number one for Jenny. He wanted to pay back the shares like next quarter and next quarter and next quarter. So I had to hurry up and reduce the RWA on this book under Basel III standards.
So let me ask you, that they panicked in a sense, right? Because he had that priority number one. They didn't want to wait till the 2014 to run it down. So they drove the thing blowing up.
Yeah, they wanted me to trade a lot, I would say, right?
Yeah, and you couldn't trade. You couldn't trade. There was no market.
Exactly. So what I proposed Diana Drew then was that to split this hedge, since it was the hedge and it was the basis risk that consumed a lot of RWA. And I said, well, if it's just the capital consumption and profitability, what I suggested is that we took like what amounted to 70% to 80% of the book, and we shaped this in form of typical credit investments that would be put in a brand new investment book at CIO that certainly would mobilize capital, but not, you know, that would be an outright investment, not a sort of basis risk that was very, very expensive in capital terms because it was hedging the IB and other units, and it was a sort of never-ending modeling issue. And Ian Andrew said, okay, and the management of CIO and the risk control department scrutinized this from March 2011 to June 2011. And in June 2011, I was told by Mr. Artaro, because I did not attend the meeting where Mrs. Drew decided that, that indeed this split would happen. And then I asked Mr. Artaro to create a special strategy that was to prepare the part of the hedge that was to be split into this brand new investment book. And Mr. Artaro said yes. And the control function for Mr. Stefan and Mr. Kalimtis, the guys who were monitoring this every day, they saw the strategy 27. They knew exactly why it was there. It was just here to say, here are the positions that are to be transferred so that the RWA of this book after this transfer is really smashed. So the solution was found. It was approved as far as I could believe Mr. Artaro and my risk controllers. It's just that 2 weeks later, Mr. Artaro tells me that I now want me to increase the position.
We'll be back with the second segment next.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I comped Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site, 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis, 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. Bruno Exil, former head synthetic derivatives trader, trying to explain what the heck J.P. Morgan was doing. Where we left off, you said that, so we're telling the world that we're reducing the book, we're telling the regulators that, and then you get these last-minute orders here, and you suddenly ramp up trading, increase all the credit default swaps, as we said, from $4 billion to $51 billion in notional value. Let me ask you this. So they did the opposite of what we were told, and it wasn't driven by you, which is what the market was told. Jamie Dimon at the wheel of all of this, ultimately, and not the so-called London whale, which would be you.
I cannot tell you. All I heard from my manager was that Jamie wanted me to trade and keep trading still in March 2012. And I kept saying, I want to stop trading. And in September 2011 already, Mr. Artaro had told me that Ina Drew wanted me to grow some positions starting in July 2011. And so I told Mr. Artaro, look, I think Ina doesn't realize that not only we cannot unwind the legacy positions, but we can hardly increase the position unless we pay a fortune for that. And so I went to New York, and I talked to the top risk managers of CIO. I went to the top modelers of the firm on RWA, and I went to talk to Mrs. Drew in person and to the CFO of CIO to explain the dire straits that the book was in. The positions were not liquid. So, and I said my commitment to reduce the positions at the very first opportunity. But when I was back to London, Mr. Artaro conveyed to me other instructions. And in December 2011, Ina Drew came to London, and she knew the problem because I had explained her 2 months before. But she said, after the bank of this airline company in the U.S. that defaulted in November, it's the number one. She said, "Well, we build those protections. We want more of this at CIO." So that was really strange. And 1 week later, I was told by Mr. Artaro that Jamie wanted this book to be long risk. You know, this hedge to protect the bank had to be actually exposed to a credit crisis. I will be blamed by Mr. Artaro because in early January, this instruction had not been executed yet. And that was the will of Jamie. He wanted me to trade, as per Mr. Artaro. He wanted me to put this protection on the opposite direction towards the markets. What could I say? What could I do? Well, I kept elevating the dangers of this, but I had to execute the orders.
I'll have to say, it looks to me like you were hung out to dry because the market was told that you made these huge positions, you got them exposed and took these huge losses. At the same time, you're sending memos in saying, I want to stop trading, I want to reduce the book, the market's too illiquid. You're told to grow it by Ida Drew, who's operating with, from Jamie's assumptions, and the opposite happens. So to me, that looks like you were hung out to dry if you have the story right, which leads me into looking into where you framed to a certain extent. You got a promotion to managing director right before all the stuff that said you were a bad trader, right? You say that's a phony promotion?
Yeah, absolutely. It happened in late 2010. Mr. Arthur Ho convened me in his office and said, look, Bruno, I want to promote you managing director, but don't get over it. It's a chocolate medal. It doesn't change anything for you. It's just that we like what you've done, so we want to reward you for that.
A chocolate medal meaning it's not a real promotion?
Yeah. And actually, it didn't change anything indeed. I still didn't attend to the management meetings. Obviously, my alerts were not followed, although they were heard and understood. And indeed, I had just to execute the instructions, even though I thought white when they said black. So, yeah, indeed. And the strange thing is, at JP, you have a process, because a managing director position normally is for a manager, i.e. a high-level executive. And there is a process that you have to run through HR. You've got to be sponsored by an existing or two existing managing directors, and they are your sponsors, so they have to justify why they want to promote you. They have to justify that in the interest of the bank and why it makes sense business-wise to make this promotion, what kind of gap I'm going to fill, and so on. And 1 month later, human resource staff contacted me saying, can you ask Mr. Artaro to fill this form, please, because he has not filled it. And they put the form in attachment, so I went to Mr. Artaro, mentioning this email from HR, and then Mr. Artaro said, I don't want to fill it. I don't want to fill it. Put whatever you want. I'm going to approve. I said, I don't know why I should be a managing director, and you said it's a chocolate medal, so what kind of thing should I put in? He said, it doesn't matter. Just put your current position and what you do, and that's fine.
Hey, Bruno, did they do this then to keep you happy, keep you quiet? What?
Well, at the time, I think they just wanted me to feel comfortable with my staying at CIO, given that the book was dead. 1 month before, Mr. Artaro has said that RWA, Jamie, share buybacks, the book is dead. And I said, well, I'm not surprised. It's not liquid anyway.
Okay, so let me ask this then. Okay, so now this thing blows up in 2012, and the Wall Street Journal exposes this, and the London Whale is beat up basically all around the world. You maintain that J.P. Morgan concocted that story with the Wall Street Journal?
Well, I can give you an anecdote. On the 5th or the 6th, in the first time in the morning London time, so before New York was awake, I read a former draft of Mr. Zuckerman at the Wall Street Journal, word for word. So if you know journalism ethics, which I didn't know at the time, it should never have happened. And there was a set of sentences that were complete misrepresentations, and I complained to Mr. Artaro, because in fact Mr. Artaro had received the draft, not me. And Mr. Artaro wanted me to read this draft on his computer screen. And when I read it, I said, well, here, that's really crap. That's really nonsense. And it was about me. And he told me, well, it's Ina saying that. It's to protect you. And I said, well, I don't see how she protects me, because she was saying that sometimes I made mistakes. I said, what is she saying? And so I complained. Mr. Artaro said, when I suggested I should talk to the media, actually, to tell them what is the truth, and don't do that. Otherwise, the bank is going to slaughter you, your family, take everything from you. And then I said, well, but that's crap, so I want to talk to the media. And so Mr. Artaro said, hold on, don't do anything, I'm going to talk to PR. And so the PR chief of New York, Mr. Evangelisti, called me on the phone, and he asked me what I was unhappy with, and I mentioned the sentences. And I said, that's crap. And you know what? In the final, in the version of the article that will go public, those sentences will be removed.
We're talking with Bruno Axill. We'll be back with our next segment. We're going to get more into what the charges were that J.P. Morgan misled the regulators and the market. Coming up.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories. New ideas turn into businesses. Programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself. But come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now, 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio.
One of the biggest scandals financially since the 08 scandals was the $6 billion loss. London Whale, we're going to look into now some of the charges about J.P. Morgan misrepresenting. And the first thing let me ask you is, of course, you're saying that the London Whale role was not central to it. You were executing based on orders you didn't even agree with. You had very high compensation at the time. I think the Senate report says you made like $7 million or something. I mean, can you credibly say that you didn't have decision-making authority making that level of compensation?
I cannot credibly say that I had no way in the decisions mm-hmm. that were taken and the money that was made. But I can tell you for sure that I did not attend to the decision meetings that decided on which trade, which instruments would go into this book. So the reason why I was highly compensated, as I was explained by my management, was mostly because, first, I was very truthful. When I disagreed with the top managers, I just said it. And when there was a problem with the positions, I was pretty good at seeing it in advance. And against the London Whale tale and legend, I had been highlighting the problem, making a trip to New York in September 11, i.e. 6 months before the problems would actually materialize. So I think I was really well paid because there was a period of time, probably before 2009, where it really mattered for the bank to have a credible tail hedge at CIO. And my managers knew, because I didn't attend the meeting, but I provided the very right ideas to have at the very right time, that my contribution was valuable. Yes. Now, how did it pay me? If you look better in the U.S. Senate report, if you compare my compensation that is given with the performance of the book, you will see that my compensation was not in connection with the performance of the book. And the Senate even goes as saying that from the outside, my managers had a compensation that was based on the performance of this book, but not me. After 2009, I suspect that I was very well paid because I was targeted to be the futureful guy. Yes, I was prepared for that. That's all.
All right, Bruno, let me ask you this now. This is kind of stunning stuff, too. Before we get into the regulatory misleading, there's a war internally in the bank between the investment bank, essentially, and CIO. They control the valuation of your book, not you guys, and you had different valuations for the same items, in the book. What's going on here? Why was warfare tolerated, and what happened?
Initially, when I joined CIO, I advised Mr. Macris to actually borrow the whole valuation infrastructure of DIB for this book that was to be created. The reason was simple. That's an international standard from regulators that a newcomer on CDS market does not own its valuation process. It has to delegate to a third party that is an experienced professional in valuation matters for CDS. Why is that simple? CDS markets are over-the-counter markets. The models are extremely sophisticated. The prices are extremely uncertain. And the market is very shadowy in terms of exposures. So CIO was a newcomer. And DIB was probably the most experienced professional on the planet. So that made total sense to delegate everything. It will start like this. It will remain like this. Now, towards the end of 2006, it's the risk control department in New York monitoring the VAR of the firm of the CIO and of this book, because this book was 90% of the VAR of the CIO. It was a pretty big thing. And the risk controller said, we want you at CIO to refine your price selection, not pick the ones of the DIB because it induces too much consumption of the VAR. And so from then on, we started having different closing times than DIB. We're starting having different closing prices than DIB. After that, once Mr. Diamond will want to have hedges on high yield, subprime, super senior financials, i.e. very illiquid positions, we will be ordered to even diverge from what we saw as mid-market prices. Why? Because this book was a hedge, and the top management wanted to monitor it with some visibility. We had to filter out some of the noise that the market was putting in, because the top management wanted to know 1 week or 2 weeks in advance what the trend was like for this hedge. So we were explicitly told to diverge from the standard mark-to-market process by the bank itself, because it was a hedge.
And we must say that mismarking the book means the apparent value of the securities. So obviously it's a misrepresentation to the markets if it's done to manipulate losses. And at one point, when you diverge from the mid prices to putting the best prices on there that you could get, there was over $300 million at least of difference in what that value is.
Well, it's a mismarking if you don't say that you are diverging, or if you say that you are diverging but giving the wrong reasons. This spreadsheet is not the one that I did. It's the one that my colleague did at my request.
Right.
And managed at my request. But I did even better than that. I explained to the internal auditor that came from DIB in early May how he could reconcile the mid prices of the market, the prices picked by my colleague, the spreadsheet, and how you could do that in a sensible way. I understand why we diverged price by price. And we sat together, this auditor and me, face to face, and he was computing the adjustment that he should advise to the firm before the May 10th, right? He could compute it on the back of his mind, because my small table were very useful and very clear, so that there was not even anything hidden on the differences, but not even anything hidden on the method that led to those differences.
And so obviously, to make the point, is this somebody made the decision to misrepresent to the market? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go. Let's look at other examples that they were charged with. One, the basic mission of the book, the regulators thought it was a long-term hedge against tail risk, meaning the least likely risk, yet looked like a ton of trading was going on. The position, the risk was increased, as we've talked, and they put on more credit derivatives when they told the markets they were doing less. Some of the trades were done so they could generate premium income, not necessarily for protection. So was the basic mission of the CIO misrepresented to regulators?
That I cannot tell you, because I never attended any regulators meeting. I never saw any regulators material. I don't know what the bank or the CIO was telling to regulators. My managers were saying in 2012, keep trading, keep doing that, because we are managing regulators' expectations or regulators' optics.
All right, let me tell you this. Obviously, those are misrepresentations, because we've just gone through what they actually happened versus what the regulators thought. Let's look at misrepresenting the risk models. You mentioned VAR, which is the maximum amount theoretically based on a model that can be lost in trading at any one time. And what happened here is the limits, A, were breached all the time, and that wasn't reported, and B, they changed the model to make the losses look less worse.
Yes. That's something that happened totally outside of me.
But it happened.
It happened. And even though it may sound very strange, when it happened towards the end of January, the beginning of February 2012, i.e. 2 months before the first articles, for me, in the context of my job day to day, I mean the real one, not the bank, not the one that the bank described later, the book was dead. The book was to be collapsed with DIB. Ina Drew was arms twisted, that's what Mr. Artaro explained, and finally she didn't want to make this collapse, but she had surrendered. That was it. You know, everything that would follow on was just to prepare this collapse that had been first talked of officially sometimes in 2010, actually. So the VAR thing, to me, was really due to the fact that at the end of 2011, there was a big risk in the bank, sitting at the investment bank, on similar products than the ones that we had at CIO in this book. That was a unit called Credit Hybrids. Credit Hybrids had been shut down in November 2011. And historically, I had had contact with the traders at Credit Hybrids because we both knew that most of the positions, the hedges that were at CIO, were actually hedging mostly the risk that were at Credit Hybrids. Credit Hybrids could not be wound down as much as we couldn't be wound down in the market. So Credit Hybrids had been shut down, then moved to Blue Mountain already by the end of 2011. And so when the first VAR reports in the bank came up in 2012, they didn't have Credit Hybrids in front of CIO. So it's just as if suddenly there was a big risk that had been showing up in the firm, because what had been externalized to Blue Mountain was not balancing the risk of CIO. So that's how I'd been explained then why the VAR of the firm had blown up, why actually the book had barely changed in January. You know, people said there was a lot of trading, but I tell you, because I was monitoring that, in terms of notionals or risk, things had increased by, say, 5%, not 100% like the VAR of this book did. It was just a byproduct, this increase of 100%, of the fact that the diversification with Credit Hybrid had disappeared in January 2012.
All right, we're going to get to our final segment. Net of what happened was the limits were breached all the time, which wasn't supposed to happen, and the models were manipulated, nothing of which Bruno had any control over. Final segment next.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
this alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Biz Talk Radio.
Final of our part two series with the London Whale speaking out for the first time. Okay, where we are now, Bruno, are you, you're clear, you're in the clear of everything? Do you feel you're, you've got your name ruined back or whatever?
Oh, yes, I mean, yes and no, because I got back in touch with my market counterparties, and they were never fooled by that. You know, they were puzzled by what they heard, what they heard the bank saying, and you know, they had a very clear perception of my role and so on. So, you know, life goes on. I will survive from that.
Are you in the trading business anymore? Do you want to work for the big firm? What are you doing now?
Oh, now I keep writing my story to, just because I don't want to come back to it after that. I'm looking to get a new opportunity to resume working in finance, in financial markets. I'm very open. That's it.
Okay. What recommendations would you have for J.P. Morgan or the like so that this doesn't happen or there's more transparency? Or do you have recommendations?
No, I think I cannot have recommendations. You know, all these mistakes, these errors that were professed afterwards were done on purpose. They were not like businesses are making mistakes. You know, it's nothing at all of that kind.
Okay. And, of course, you're making the point that on the net basis, the J.P. Morgan actually put $60 billion and covered up any reserve problems and actually did get to a fortress balance sheet. J.P. Morgan doesn't want to tell that story for some reason. Ida Drew eventually decided that she'd become the fall guy and turned against them?
Well, she's nothing but a fall guy. She's never been a fall guy. I've been stunned when I heard what she said before the U.S. Senate Commission. So she's never been a fall guy.
Well, she's never been. So you consider her culpable for what happened?
Well, it's not for me to say who's culpable because I've been completely manipulated. What I'm saying is I've been heavily manipulated by Ina Drew as well, and she knew what she was doing.
Okay, that's saying it pretty bluntly. Now, the Senate, the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations are the folks that looked into this. They have some suggestions. Let me just run them by and see if you agree with them. Do you think that there should be a stronger requirement for immediate hedging documentation and strengthening credit derivatives valuation So there isn't so much, as you said, so much opaque nature of this, and you could see fudging around by J.P. Morgan.
You mean in general, looking forward?
Yeah, looking forward as recommendations are coming out of this.
No, I think the only recommendation for the market's sake is that really some parts should be really transparent, and the least regulation you have, the better it is. So what I was advising back in 2010 was that the credit derivatives market should remain an OTC market, but for one area, which is the super senior spread.
Ah.
It's a very technical thing. I think this one should be quoted on every organized market. It should be heavily monitored by all the regulators, and it's going to solve a lot of the problems we have. In particular, it will allow the Federal Reserve, the ECB, and the likes to keep running the printing machine through QEs or similar QEs programs that are just smokes and mirrors. So really, there should be simply a derivative on super senior spreads quoted on organized market, and therefore with a clearing agent, a clearing company that backs this up.
In fact, what he's talking about handling these as if they're like stocks are handled. The Volcker rule, stopping proprietary trading, particularly federally insured bank money. Where do you come out on the Volcker rule?
Well, I think the Volcker rule, unfortunately, was a good idea. But Mr. Volcker is too highly respected. And what I saw is that it created fear among regulators, among time bankers. And you know what? When human beings are fearful, they never make the right decisions. And that's the problem with the Volcker rule.
Interesting. What about the fact that these are federally insured deposits in the case of J.P. Morgan?
I think really the view here should be to remember the Glass-Steagall Act, to remember the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, the very career of Mr. Dimon himself, what he did with Bank One, when he actually, did some trade-offs between reserves, faulty loans, and tax deferrals. I think there's a general problem with how we consider deposits. One technical way to look at it for market participants is to say, is a bank senior debt equivalent to a deposit in practice when there is a default? That's really the way it should be thought of.
Should Jamie Dimon be held accountable for this whole London Whale episode in any way more?
Well, to me, he's completely responsible for this. He's not alone, by far. I think, you know, it's not worth looking back for ages, you know, back.
Uh-huh.
Except if, I mean, I'm not looking for a revenge at all. It's not the point. The point is that there are today the virtual currencies, and if you want to think of the deposits and what it means today to have an insured deposit, you know, what if the U.S. government is actually insolvent if it really has to insure the deposits? Don't you prefer to have virtual currencies to operate trade?
Good point.
Yeah. So I think that's the real question. And I wish Mr. Dimon at least could say a bit of the truth so that, you know, this London Whale looks like for what it was, a complete myth, a complete fiction. That's all. Now, you know, to put him in jail or to fine him, it would just be pretense, because the real issue is virtual currencies versus deposits. People have their money on their deposits. They want to make sure that when they are told you're insured, they really will be insured.
Well, I have to say it's been a fascinating two programs with Bruno Exil, the London Whale, and he's certainly given a story that has not been publicly revealed, really, or at least understood in the markets. Thanks to Bruno Exil. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Our next show, we've got another huge scandal almost brought down the world soccer and FIFA. Investigative journalist Ken Bensinger blowing the whistle on the world's biggest sports scandal. Thanks to Bruno Exil, long suffering as the London Whale, and for coming on exclusively to our show after 3 years that we've been talking about it. Thanks to our national audience for listening. See everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio,